Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, you got a big grin on your face. How are you doing today?
Jake, I'm doing great. We're going to be talking about hair product. We're going to be talking about shirts today and get a little bit into the dual asset strategy. How are you doing?
Always making it happen, Ben. Mr. Sapio, he is a lifelong entrepreneur who's founded more than 20 companies. He's also been a lifelong investor. He started an investment holding company, Mutual Capital Alliance, Inc. in 1994. And for the past 27 years, they made over 100 investments into private companies, including the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. He is the co-founder of Mutual Capital Alliance, a private equity firm with three funds. And he is also co-author of Who's in Your Room? The Secret to Creating Your Best Life, which became an international bestseller. He and his wife, Melissa, have four children and live in Texas, but today they're in Florida. So without further ado, Rick Sapio, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I'd love to, you know, get into a little bit more cooking stuff here, but we want to talk about this dual asset strategy because I think it's a phenomenal opportunity for all investors, especially real estate investors. But Rick, you're such a values-driven guy. I want to hear how the dual asset strategy aligns with your values.
Yeah, so when you think about operating values, and you think about how we operate all the different entities or we're part of, we always stress simplicity, probability, and leverage. How to keep everything as simple as possible, how to increase the probability of hitting the stated objective, in this case, generational wealth. And then lastly, how to leverage existing technology, existing infrastructure, existing strategy, existing relationships. And for me, one of those existing relationships was Teresa Kuhn, who was mentored by Nelson Nash, who wrote the first book on this type of investing, which he called Bank on Yourself. Would I be better like this?
You are in Florida, and they know it's a, you know, a pirate thing going on, but we probably want to leave that. So,
and the book I'm referring to, Nelson Nash published in 2000 or 2001 called Become Your Own Banker.
What is the dual asset strategy and how do you use it?
We call it the dual asset strategy because we invest in a lot of private companies and we advise people to not invest into anything private, whether it's an apartment or a real estate investment of any kind or a private company, no matter what it is, unless you first take those same dollars and buy a whole life insurance policy that's long-term focused. Then you borrow against that policy and you invest in that private investment or that piece of real estate. And now you have two assets. So let's think about it realistically. You go to your banker and you want to get a loan. And the banker says, let me see your balance sheet. And let's just say your balance sheet has $100,000 in an investment. Okay, that's good. You got $100,000 and you own a piece of real estate. Great. Let's say that very same person went to that very same bank and still had that same $100,000 investment, but also had a life insurance policy that upon their death, they're paid, their estate's paid $1 million. Now you've got the private investment, you've got the life insurance policy, which has cash value, albeit it has a loan against it because the way the dual asset strategy works is you borrow against the life insurance policy and you buy the private investment. So now you have two assets, and that's why we call it the dual asset strategy.
Why, well, Rick, you're a simplicity guy, though, right? So, you know, one second, let me hop in with this because I want to tie this into Rick's values, because I think for someone out there that may be naive to the dual asset strategy and what we're actually doing here, this may be kind of complicated. This sounds like hard work, but Rick, one of your core values is simplicity. So how hard is this once you get it set up?
It's not hard at all. I mean, you have to get a life insurance policy. You do have to get a medical checkup and you do have to answer a lot of questions. It could take a few months, but once you set it up, you then could keep doing this. I currently, right now, as we speak, have 11 different policies.
11 policies. And I have, my big question is, why did it take stubborn Sapio 6 years to come to the realization that this was a viable and an amazing strategy?
The truth is, it seemed too good to be true. When you get into this product and you look at your results, and for me, we've averaged about 4% a year, year in, year out on what I considered cash money. So if you got money sitting in a CD or sitting in the bank, why not have it sit here earning 4% a year? Mm-hmm. And that's tax advantaged. That's a pretty good return in a market that is sky high. So you think about when I say it's sky high, what I mean is there's probably a high risk now that the market's going to come down. So are you really going to
drop 900 points today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing too, is if you really look at it, all the folks, and I don't know what the numbers are, but have the money in their savings account and retirement. Maybe Rick, you know, the actual numbers here, they're getting creamed right now. People that are holding large amounts of cash right now in the bank with no return are absolutely getting slaughtered due to inflation right now. And if you look at what the real inflation number is, and you start adding in some of these things like real assets, real estate investments, the number is much higher than what the CPI reported. I think it was 5% or something like that. So this is actually a vehicle that provides safety in these times of inflation, yeah, as well, wouldn't you say?
I would say that. And think about this. We only buy certain kinds of life insurance when we do the product, and that's dividend paying whole life insurance that's by a company that is mutually owned. So what does that mean? When you buy that life insurance policy, you're a shareholder in the company. So in addition to getting the return in your account, you're also getting the dividends. And the companies we use have not missed a quarterly dividend. It means through every war, every pandemic, every negative situation, everything that you can possibly imagine. So when you say safe, Jake, it is really safe relative to anything else. That's how I would see it.
And Jake, I'd like to add a couple of things to that. When you're out there and you're an investor, who is this for? This is for everybody listening to the show. This is for the 100-year real estate investor. This is not for somebody for looking to get rich today, tomorrow, or a year from now. This is a living benefit, Jake. It's a death benefit. And it's really for the long term. You know, Rick really discusses, and he's one of the founders of the 100-year mindset. And that's a powerful mindset, because whatever Rick and I are doing today, it's going to affect our children's and it's going to affect our grandchildren's, you know, for those years to come. So this is something really long-term, generational. So if everybody's out there saying, you know what, I'm too young for this, I'm too old for this, go back and listen to all the other podcasts we've done. We had Kelly Clemens, who's a 100-year real estate team member. He has no children, but he wants to leave a legacy. He's going to leave a legacy to his church. So there's this policy, this program, this product, whatever you want to call it, really has massive benefits for everybody out there, but only if you adopt those core values. I love the simplicity, probability, and leverage, and also that mindset of the long term. You really need to look at it as a long term. And Jake, the last thing I'll say about this policy, it's think about when you start a business, it takes a couple of years for that business to get off the ground. You start a business, you're not going to make money from day one. This it is like it is when you're starting a policy. Each policy, Rick has 11 policies. That's 11 businesses that Rick owns. I've started policies on 6 of my children. Yeah. Exactly. And you got to think of it that way, but always come back to, I'm not going to get rich today. I'm doing this for the long term.
And here's the other thing that really sealed the deal for me as a skeptical guy, which I think everybody should be skeptical, is everybody's going to die. That's one thing that we could guarantee. When you look at the returns of these policies, when someone dies, they average about 11% a year. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is you've got the cash value of the policy. Let's call it on day one, $100,000. But when you pass, your estate gets $1 million. Well, do the math on that. Obviously, you want to live as long as possible, but the cash value and the death benefit, the amount your estate receives, they both go up simultaneously. So no one can argue that the return of these policies is much higher than the market on average.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such an interesting point, because we're going through a time right now where there's a lot of suggestion about taking away the step up in basis, removing the 1031 exchange, higher capital gains. All this stuff leads to a decrease in generational wealth if you are not planning properly. And I know, you know, Gino, I know Rick, they're responsibility junkies, and they want to ensure that everything that they're doing in their life and even in future times when it gets passed, you know, to their kids or whatever their estate goals are, is not going to be attacked like it is proposed right now with the different things that are on the table. So the beautiful thing about a guaranteed fixed death benefit, this is something you're buying. This is not like term insurance where you're essentially renting it. You're actually buying into that future death benefit that could help out when you have real assets like real estate, like businesses that may be subject to higher taxes in the future. So that's what I think is so attractive, mm-hmm, to people that are willing to take full responsibility for everything that comes into their lives. Now, Before we sign off, Rick, I just want to hear from you because Gino mentioned about the simplicity, probability, and leverage. And I think that's something that attracted us so much to, you know, your overall core values when we heard you speak years ago. So can you just kind of tie the two together? How does a dual asset strategy tie in to your core values?
Well, when I look at my friends who have a lot of assets and they've, at the end of the year, when it comes to tax time, they're running around like chickens with their head cut off to make sense of it all. The way I do it, not to get too simplistic here, but I have what I call the barbell investment strategy. And I look at my assets in two buckets. The reason I say barbell investment strategy is because you think about a barbell, it's weighted on both sides. And the bar is really narrow in the middle. And most people spend all their money trading stocks and bonds and occasionally buying real estate or things like that. The way I look at it is half my money is in highly liquid cash products. And I put insurance in that category because I use my insurance policies to borrow against and feed back and borrow against and feed back. I've gone through that cycle five or six times over the years. So all my cash investments are on one side. The other side are all my illiquid investments, and I invest in private companies, as I mentioned. So it's really simple because they're highly passive in nature. That's why it's simple. What most people do is they're checking the stock market. They're crazy buying and selling and options and Bitcoin and all this crap. I don't believe in any of that. I have a very passive view of investing. And so my personal life doesn't get impinged upon by, you know, my CPA at the end of the year calling me or my financial planner or anybody else. So the barbell investment strategy is part of our plan. That's not part of this call, but this side where all my cash is, most of that is in these types of policies. I hope that answered it. If it didn't, I'll go deeper.
Well, it's the simplicity, but it's also the leverage because you're borrowing from the one using the dual asset strategy to put into the business. So thus, instead of having just the business investment, you've created another business on the other side, which is your policy. Thus, you know, as it gets paid back, you're left with two true assets instead of one. So I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody here is thinking about making any investment that's illiquid, real estate,
like being real one estate,
of
them, right?
Yeah. You absolutely should consider this. It makes all the sense in the world. You're creating two assets out of one.
Yeah. Excellent. Gino, take us home.
Well, if you want more information on the product and the dual asset strategy, on the philosophy, just go to 100yearrei.com and schedule a call with one of our team members. It's 100yearrei.com and schedule a call with one of our team members. I love the product. Like I said, I just took out six policies of my children. I bought a policy years and years ago. Don't make the mistake that I did. Got into Index Universal Life a year and a half ago. Was not for the real estate investor. Big mistake. That's why I partnered with Rick. And when I saw the vision, I'm like, this is what I need. I need something that's guaranteed, something that's on autopilot. I don't have to lose sleep over it because I need this money to buy real estate deals. I need this money to buy businesses. I don't need this money in the stock market. If I'm going to be in the stock market, just be in the stock market. Don't be in an IUL policy. It made no sense to me. When I learned about it, I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. But you know what? That's what life's all about. That's what the 100-year REI, the real estate investor, is all about. Learning those mistakes, being a responsibility junkie, constant growth, and evolving. And don't make those mistakes hamper you. That's the important
thing. I need to add something here because you made me think of it. I, for 20 years, went to the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting, and Warren Buffett said, we get whole life insurance policies on all our executives. And I didn't mention this, but all of our executives in our holding company, we have whole life insurance policies on as well. That's an asset of the company. The company's a beneficiary of it. And if something tragic happens, the company gets money, which we can give to the estate of the person who passed, or we can use to find another employee, or can be used to buy out an investor. So that could be a whole nother call, but there's a massive amount of flexibility and simplicity you get by doing a little bit of work now, and that is going through the process of getting one of these policies.
Yeah, and that's the exact point I was trying to make at the beginning of the show, is that some people are like, oh, this is going to be more work. It's just one more thing to do. Yeah, but if you want to play with the big boys, you want to end up, you know, creating a tremendous amount of wealth in your life, these are the little extras that you do to make sure you're providing yourself with better options in your life. Guys, this has been really, really informative. Appreciate you both. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks. We will.